The passage we have this morning is a continuation of the argument or the case of Apostle Paul when he was charged as troublemaker before the governor. And in here we have King Agrippa who visited Governor Festus, and scholars are saying that governor or the king was there because the chief priest have pressured him or maybe written him a letter to help them have Festus decide in favor of them. Earlier, before that, Festus have decided that Apostle Paul would be sent to Rome because Paul was a Roman citizen and he appealed to Caesar, and Festus did not see any charge that deserve death. Well, what can we learn from our passage this morning? What is it that you dream for yourself? What is it that you hope to happen in the year 2022? Easily, employees would desire to be promoted or to have increase in their salary, and for students, they may desire for good grades, or everyone would have good health. Because of the pandemic, everyone is affected, and we desire to be strong and healthy. But others want to be still desiring to be popular. Everyone wants to join the TikTok or the Facebook or have YouTube or become influencer, because in those things they may become popular and even earn some amount of money if they could. They want to have power. In this time, back in the Philippines, it's time for election, and everyone is showing their desire to be in the power, even in the outside of the border, becoming popular. These are great aspirations, but one has to prepare for greatness. You want to be great in your life one day. There are many things to be prepared for. Greatness is expecting great challenge. So greatness of leaders are tested by great challenges. And having popularity, having power, it invites many great challenges. The greater you overcome challenges, the greater you would become. In this time, what is it that God had allowed you to overcome? Have you ever had experience where you were tested of your greatness or your character, for leaders, for leadership ability? Have you been tested before but failed the opportunity to be great? Many times in my life, if I look back, there were chances where people would say, you should have become like this and like that if you have continued to do this and to do that. And I look back in those years, that could be a possibility. And sometimes there's this feeling inside, like resentment. I should have done this and I should have done that. But God is faithful in reminding me, yes, I allow those things to happen. I allow you to fail so that you will know that in this world, you are limited. Everyone is limited. We will still have failure. But failure should not stop us from doing what's best. One Bible character was given a chance to become great. Aaron. Aaron, the older brother of Moses, he was given a chance to become great leader of Israel, but instead of leading the Israelites to trust in God, he gave in to their sinful desire, and we can find that in Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 4, we can read this. Let's read. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "Then these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Now, Moses was not at that time in their presence because the Lord told him to go up the mountain, Mount Sinai, for him to give the commandments, and nobody was allowed to step on the foot of the Mount Sinai because the Lord said so, and only Moses was allowed. So Moses went up to Mount Sinai. He stayed there 40 days, 40 nights, and that was too long, 40 days waiting for somebody. It's not easy. And Aaron at this time could have been planned by the Lord and test him if his leadership capability is, or if he was qualified to be the next leader of Israel, but he failed. He failed at his chance. Many times we are given a chance similar to that, and we just didn't see. All we need is complain. Instead of seeing the greatness that God had prepared us, our tendency is to complain. Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? You know what? When there's problem that we face, remember, it could be that God is teaching you or testing you to grow up to the level of greatness that He had prepared for you. So instead of complaining of problem that we face, we should immediately pray, "Lord, what is it that you have prepared for me? This problem is so difficult. Help me overcome it." Returning to, or going back to what happened to Aaron, why did Aaron fail to keep the Israelites from sinning against the Lord? Why did he give in to the decision of those loud and complaining Israelites? Did Aaron think that it was his chance to become the leader of Israel because Moses was absent and he was just second in rank, or maybe he just leading behind the shadow of Moses? Friends, godly leaders should know how to discern good from bad advice. Now, it was the Israelites who advised him to become their leader. And Aaron might have thought that he want to please, if he can please the people, he could be a good leader. Indeed, when Moses was up in the mountain, Aaron was given a chance as leader, but instead of leading them, his decision was dictated by the Israelites. He did not decide on his own. He decided according to the will of the Israelites. And churchgoers have similarity. Churchgoers are led astray because church leaders and even pastors lead and decide like Aaron. What is it that you want? What's the majority want? And that is what we want. That is something that is not very good many times. Godly leaders, first and foremost, should listen to God and know the will of God to discern the best decision for the congregation. and decision from the congregation should only be affirmation to what God had told them. So leaders should not, let's ask the congregation what they want. And maybe that is God's what God wants. No, it should be, we need to hear what God first and foremost. And when a majority would decide, it should only serve as confirmation of what we have heard. That is the best thing that we should do. Even personally, when we decide, we should not ask, oh, what is your advice? What should I do? Like, for example, if you are buying your house, for example, that is huge decision for the family. What do you want us to, what is it that you want us to have as a family? And then let's ask the realtor, let's ask the mortgagor, let's ask others' advice. Many times to have good advice is great, but first and foremost, you need to hear what God wants you. Even for students who decide on their career path, first, students, pray before deciding. Ask the Lord which career path you would pursue, because the Lord had already prepared for you, students. Many students are persuaded to take a career because their friends is there in that career, or their parents pressure them to take this kind of career. Many times parents would pressure their children because parents have failed in their chances to have great careers, and they want their children to have great careers just to cover up their failure or something like that. Parents, be an encouragement to your student, but to pressure them to take a career path that is not for them, that would be something that you would regret later on. Doing God's will is very unpopular move. It's not very popular decision, and Governor Festus became very unpopular among Jewish leaders because Governor Festus, who governed Judea, he was a governor only for 3 years. 3 years. And he should have governed it for longer years if he had pleased the leaders or the Jewish leaders accordingly. According to gossip, he was assassinated because of his decision that favored Apostle Paul. Well, here is an example that politics is also biblical. Politics is what we face in our generation, even in the past generation, and even in biblical times. When King Agrippa came face to face with Apostle Paul, he was with Festus. King Agrippa was the one who chose the chief priest of Jerusalem, although it was not his jurisdiction, but it had been practiced in the past, because governors in Judea had been relieved from time to time, and King Agrippa was reigning for longer time, so he had stability in his governance. So that allowed him to have that influence to choose the chief priests in Jerusalem. And in here we read that King Agrippa had agreed with Governor Festus that the accusation of Jewish leaders against Paul deserves no death after he heard the testimony of Apostle Paul. Moreover, Festus thought that Apostle Paul was just out of mind of what he was talking about. Paul testified that Jesus appeared to him, instructed him to testify of what he had seen, and Festus learned that Jesus Christ had been crucified and died and buried, and yet he rose again, resurrected. And Festus learned that, heard from Apostle Paul that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, and he thought he cannot believe what he heard from Apostle Paul. He thought that Paul was just telling something weird. In verse 24, it says, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." Now, that is something that Festus observed with Apostle Paul. He knew that he had learned that Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and being a Pharisee, they are just so great in their learning and know more than many ordinary citizens. Of course, Pharisees are considered to be to have doctoral studies in the Jewish laws. Festus cannot easily accept that a dead person would appear and give instruction, especially to Apostle Paul. And many would still consider it insanity or crazy to testify about personal experiences with the Lord because they are incomprehensible to others. And many times, when you tell about the goodness of the Lord they have done in your life, like for example, it's by God's grace I was promoted. It was by God's grace that I was given increase. And yet others would see it as, oh, that's impossible. Well, our responsibility is to testify. That's our responsibility. It is not for us to convince people to believe what we say. It's just for us to tell them, this is what happened to me. This is my experience. This is my personal conviction. If they don't believe, then so be it. But don't be worried about that, or don't be concerned so much about that, because it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would convince them if they would believe what you say or not. Have you not often heard before, when someone testifies about God's goodness before, that there are disclaimers like people would say, "Oh, this is not to brag, this is not to boast about it," but something like that. Why would people say that? Why is it that they just say what they want to say, or why would believers not need to say, "This is not to brag"? Why use disclaimer of not bragging about what the Lord has done in one's life when the Bible says, if you boast, boast of what the Lord has done in your life, so it is acceptable in our community, Christian community, for us to brag, for us to boast of what the Lord had done. So don't ever say, "Oh, this is not to brag, this is not to boast about what the Lord had done," but no, don't use that. You are just trying to present yourself as humble as you can to people. No. The Lord would love it when you boast about what He had done in your life. Why would they do that? Is it because churchgoers and non-Christians could not appreciate it if we talk about what God has done in our life? Many, even churchgoers, could not appreciate because they were hoping it would happen to their life and not to you. Those who think that we are bragging about our accomplishment and disregarding God's part, they are like Festus, Governor Festus, who was not ready to accept the testimony of Apostle Paul as reality. You don't believe it? Well, think about this experience of Apostle Paul. He was telling about what happened to his life, but Festus said, "Your great learning is driving you insane. You are out of your mind, Paul." And many people would listen or say that you Christians are out of your mind many times. So if listeners cannot believe your testimony, pray that God would fill them with the Holy Spirit and that God would give them faith in the Lord. Pray and pray that they may believe and may trust the Lord just as you have faith in the Lord. It's by faith that one believed God. Remember that. Explanation, logical eloquence of speech cannot persuade people to believe in God, because it is only by faith that believers believe in God. So don't try to be someone clever enough, smart enough to explain about the Lord. You may be clever, you may be smart, but that doesn't mean they would believe in the Lord, because it's by faith that we believe in the Lord. In verse 25 and 26 it says, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I'm saying is true, reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner." Now, the testimony of Paul. What happened to Paul when Festus did not believe him? When the chief priest who had high degrees, high education, when they cannot believe what Apostle Paul said, this was recorded for us to understand that even if we have great learning, we just cannot persuade anybody to believe in the Lord, because the reality is only by faith we believe in the Lord. Remember this experience of Apostle Paul when you are sharing the gospel. So when somebody would not believe, well, even the educated scholars did not believe Apostle Paul. Even the high-ranking officials did not believe Apostle Paul. Even the military, dignified, or people who were recognized or popular in the city of Caesarea did not believe in Apostle Paul. So why would this person believe in me? Think about that. Because only by faith, again, only by faith that one believes in the Lord. Paul was not short of information, though. He had good knowledge of who King Agrippa was. King Agrippa was familiar about Christianity, and he was also interested to hear what Paul would say. He might have heard of what happened to Apostle Paul. He might have heard about what's happening to Christianity, to the disciples. Why were the Christians have the courage to tell about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, even if it means death? That was perhaps a puzzle to King Agrippa. Why would these people would rather want to die instead of turning their back to Jesus? King Agrippa was given the authority to designate or assign chief priest, and there are political influences involving the selection of chief priests. A chosen chief priest could have some influence or bribe. They could have bribed Agrippa so that Agrippa would assign them as chief priest. Well, without explicit support, some scholars suggest that the chief priests have pressured, they have used their influence to seek the decision of Agrippa favorable to them. And these charges against Christianity might have been a regular menu in the King Agrippa's court. Well, Agrippa, however, had no basis of favoring the chief priest in the case of Apostle Paul, and Agrippa wanted to save his name also, his reputation also. He did not want to make terrible mistake in his pronouncement. Well, mistakes of announcing the winner can be very unpleasant mistakes for the one who is assigned to announce. Now, we know, as you, most of us Filipinos, may have heard about this drama surrounding the pronouncement of the winner of Miss Universe 2015. Remember that? It became very sensational, viral worldwide. Initially, the announcer said, "And the winner is Colombia." And the Colombia candidate, she was given the crown, the sash. But few moments later, the announcer found out that Philippines was the winner, the real winner. Philippines was also declared Miss Universe 2015 winner, and the Colombia was declared the first runner-up. That was very, very, I don't know how to describe it, but not great feeling for both the winner and the second placer. How does it feel to make that terrible mistake of announcing the right winner? If you were, for example, the candidate of Colombia, you've been, yay, I won. And yet, you're not. What had happened if Festus and King Agrippa decided in favor of the accusers of Apostle Paul? What would have been done? How many judges have given the right or terrible verdict to criminal cases? You can easily search the internet. How many criminals have been set free because of unwarranted decisions? You can easily know that there are a lot of innocent people who have been incarcerated, imprisoned because of questionable decision. And this is a recurring drama all around the world. As Christians, let us pray regularly for our government officials. You may not have experienced such terrible decision yet in your life, but your friends, relatives had, perhaps. Pray for law enforcers, police officers. Continue to pray, including judges, legislators, people in authority. Pray, continue to pray. If possible, you can do it every time you remember or complain against the government. You pray instead of complaining. The Bible teaches that all authorities are given responsibilities. They have been established by the Lord. Now, if you cannot believe that yet, you can read and reread in the Bible, but still you need to have increase of faith to believe. Meaning, even the lowest official, government official, you may not like that person, but it's the Lord who established his authority. Your boss, your teachers, even your parents are authorities somehow. Pray, Lord, help me believe this reality. What was the plan of God for King Agrippa? Why did God allow him to be there and hear the testimony of Apostle Paul? Let's read again verse 27 to 29. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for this change. Now, are you listening? Are you listening? Apostle Paul prayed also for you, that you may become what he was, except for his chains. Do you accept that God allowed Apostle Paul to be charged of troublemaking so that he could speak about the gospel of Christ before captured audience or in a courtroom? He did not need to gather, "Come on, government official, come on, I would like to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone are invited to come in the court and I will tell about the resurrection of Jesus Christ." He didn't need to do that. He did not need to have that promotion or send flyers there or buy ads in the television. Of course, there's no television at that time. For him to invite people, he was just given the chance. That was a divine appointment for Apostle Paul to testify. And many times, we are given similar opportunity for us to testify of the Lord. Apostle Paul did not spend time defending himself, that he is not giving proof that he was not really a troublemaker. That was not he used his time, used that opportunity to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no biblical record to claim that King Agrippa became Christian, but you can easily see that one reason it was implied that King Agrippa may have been thinking, what is it really to be a Christian? When he asked Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Why was that question? What is that question? That is a question that implies that he was considering believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's accuser, the high-ranking officials, prominent men in Caesarea, they were observing him. They were listening very clearly to him. If King Agrippa says that he believed in Apostle Paul's testimony, his decision can easily be seen as bias. They would say, "Oh, you are just biased. Maybe Paul had given you bigger, larger bribe. I don't know, but he was very clever." King Agrippa was a politician, so he was just playing it in a political way. In verse 30, 31 and 32, it says, "The king rose with him, the governor, and Bernice, and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, 'This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment.' Agrippa said to Festus, 'This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.'" Now, I don't know how Dr. Luke learned about that. How did he know that that was the one they were talking about? Where did he get his resources so that he would write that they were talking about that? Anyway, what has prompted Agrippa and Festus to agree that Paul deserves no death or no imprisonment? Was it because they secretly believe in the Lord? They secretly believe what Apostle Paul said? Was it because the Lord had touch their hearts not to release Paul so that he will be sent to Caesar? Did not the Lord tell Paul that he will testify even in Rome? When he said that, of course, what the Lord says, it happens. In Acts 23, verse 11, it says, "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" Apostle Paul had it in his mind that nothing would happen to him until he would go to Rome. The Lord has declared that Paul would go to Rome, and it happened. Indeed, Paul has been escorted He did not pay his boarding pass to board the ship going to Rome. It was for free because he was a prisoner, so he was given. I don't know if the governor would say, oh, you are going to Rome, but you need to pay your fare. No, that's not what happened. It was for free. And God, in his mysterious ways, made it into reality what he told Paul. He told that he would testify in Rome. And this is another display of God's grace in the life of Paul. And he also had soldiers surrounding him, guarding him, guarding his safety so that he will be able to reach Rome. How about that? Instead of he and his mission team trying to reach Rome on their own accord, no. All of them reached Rome in safety. It may not be done in a conventional way when the Lord told Paul that he would testify to Rome. But still, the plan of God for Paul to testify in Rome has been accomplished. Whatever God allows us to experience, friends, it is something to testify about His grace. The experiences we have in this world, may it be tough or exciting, they are practical proof that the grace of God is at work in everyone's life. Whatever God allows us to experience, it is something to testify about His grace. Friends, if you were to testify about God's grace, what is it that comes to your mind? Talk about God's grace. You tell others, this is God's grace. King David was a singer. King David was a composer. He was also an instrumentalist. His favorite musical instrument was harp. The book of Psalms is accordingly, those were songs sang in the temple courts. It was King David who composed them. Of course, he assigned the singers, and they sang what he composed. Assigned singers in the temple. David has many things to testify about God's grace. His exploit. Went to war, never losing in war. He was always victorious. His experiences were recorded. Of course, there were many mistakes that he did in his life. But still, he testified that God gave him that joy in his heart. David simplified it about what God has done in his life in Psalm 40, verse 3, when he wrote, "Put a new song in my mouth, I am a praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." What a beautiful song. "Put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." David sang its experience of God's grace. The experiences that he experienced, even the forgiveness of his sin, he put music into it. He wrote it. He recorded it. Who enabled David to win over Goliath in a very unconventional way? Who? Who designed a shepherd boy to become the greatest king of Israel? Who? Who trained the lowly shepherd to become great warrior and military strategist? Who? Who kept David safe and secure when King Saul tried to kill him? Who? And when his son rebelled and grabbed his kingdom, who installed David back to his throne? David's life was action-filled drama. I love reading the book of Samuel, reading about the exploit of King David, how he trusted in the Lord, even in his decision-making. The book of Psalms. Book of Psalms, he wrote his personal experiences. Testimony of God's grace at work in his life, written in the book of Psalms. Similarly, Apostle Paul has challenging life, and he testified that it's God's grace sufficiently at work in his life that enabled him to do the will of God. When God allows dramatic and difficult situation in our life, challenges, struggles, difficulties, they are opportunities for us to cherish the reality of the grace of God at work. What struggle are you experiencing right now? Are you tired of your situation? The Lord Jesus invites us to come to Him and we can find rest. He said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Now, don't just stop in verse 28 when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest." How do you come to the Lord Jesus? How do you experience the rest? Rest. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." What is it? What is the yoke of the Lord? Actually, David, King David, had written it in the book of Psalms again, even before the Lord Jesus said it in the New Testament. Because it's the Holy Spirit who inspired David, who wrote it in Psalms chapter 19, if you can find that, Louis. 19 verse 7, it says, what is it? Psalms 19 verse 7. There you go. "The law of the Lord, the words, the instruction of the Lord is perfect, flawless." It says, refreshing the soul, refreshing the weary soul. And it, if you think that if you are not wise enough, it also says, "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." If you are struggling in your intelligence, studies for students, the word of the Lord, following the instruction of the Lord, the statutes, the decrees, the order, the commands of the Lord, it makes you, it helps you make wise decision. The promise of rest in the Lord, it removes worry about anything. It refreshes the soul. We are wearied of many things, of course, when our dream doesn't come true. But rest in Christ, it refreshes, it sustains us with new strength and enthusiasm to keep on, to keep on. The problem that we have, other people had already experienced. But why would God allow them to, for us to experience? Because He wants us to experience His grace. When our soul is wearied, we are tired, we are burdened, and our physical body gets tired. Now, Overnight, you had been thinking of one thing, your problem, and you get tired. You should have been tired when you are lifting weights or making physical activities, but still you get tired. You have stiff neck. Katutulog, may stiff neck. Ako meron. Our mind would not function properly when we are tired. Our attitude is not very pleasant when we are tired to us and to others. And the Lord Jesus promised and certainly would fulfill it if we rest upon Him. Taking His yoke. Taking His yoke meaning believing, trusting, obeying His instruction. That is to take the yoke. And the yoke, if you take the yoke, just like the yoke in an animal or bull or cattle, the yoke would guide the cattle in the path he would go. The path he would go, guided by the yoke of Jesus Christ, his instruction, that is when we feel refreshed. The Lord Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We can have life to its fullness as we look forward this year, 2022. Don't give in to the thief. He would be taking away your joy. Rest without worries of anything is an ideal life found only in Jesus Christ. Shall we stand up? Think of what have been you've been struggling, the difficulty you've been experiencing these days or in the past years that you haven't had solved yet in this year, and you want to be solved this year. Think about that. What is it? Was it financial problem? Was it about your health? Was it about your studies, students? Was it work-related, relational problem? Problem that you cannot solve? Ask the Lord to take them from you. Ask the Lord for increase of faith, to trust Him that He allows those problems, difficulties, and challenges, and struggles, concerns, because He has good plan for your betterment. Ask the Lord for increase of faith, to trust that. The Bible says that God allows circumstances for the betterment of those who love Him, those who obey Him, and ask the Lord for increase of faith that you may obey Him willingly, cheerfully.